It's great to see you this morning. Thank you very much for being here in person and also in virtual world through the different locations we're able to have our worship stream to. And so thank you again for being a part. Yesterday was a beautiful day up here as we were able to witness two families become one. And Blake and Maggie Clifton now are married, and so it was a beautiful day. And so congratulations to all the Blankenship family, and thankful for those who had a part in that. Certainly today's a beautiful day because it's our Lord's Day. And I'm so thankful we have this opportunity to be able to now open the Word of God and study it and examine ourselves. To ask ourselves, are we where we need to be spiritually? Now, I think it's very important that we as Christians and those of us who aren't Christians that long to be Christians, we have some talks with ourselves. And I know that sometimes if we talk to ourselves, people look at it kind of funny, right? But I'm talking about interpersonally, in our own time, we need to ask ourselves, are we doing what we need to do as Christians? You know, and I don't preach a sermon that I don't need to hear, and I don't preach a sermon that's not applicable to me. And I just must confess to you, like I've done many times, if I'm not careful in life, I can allow other things to kind of get in my mind and get me all worked up, get me frustrated. I appreciate Jimmy's prayer, and he and I were actually talking a little bit earlier. You know, there are certain things in life that are going on in this world that can trouble us. They can frustrate us. They can get to us to the point that we are riled up about it. Our blood pressure is high. But what happens is the devil wants our minds to get distracted. He wants our vision to become clouded. He wants our mindsets, our attitudes to not be healthy. He wants them to not be like Christ, because that's what can drive a wedge in between us and eternity. We are our own worst enemies sometimes. And, you know, we are living in a world where we can have media and we can have information instantly. We can have any platform we want to look up things and find things, and we can watch TV and we can listen on the radio and we can have different podcasts with people's opinions and different things going on, that if we're not careful and we allow enough of that stuff into our minds, true or not, good or bad, we can allow our minds to get so clouded, so foggy, that we take our hands off the plow, that we take our sights off of heaven, that we take our minds off of Jesus. And that's a very, very dangerous place to be. So sticking with our theme this year of being focused, and also sticking with some things that maybe are in our everyday lives right now, between viruses and tension and political landscapes and everything that's going on, I want our minds, and again, now is our time to focus on ourselves as we focus on the cross, but I want our minds, I want our lives to be centered around God. And so let's allow this time now to be some of that time where we ask ourselves, whether we're at home watching or whether we're in this room watching or participating in worship, may we ask ourselves, how is my walk? How is my mind? How is my attitude? Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, very simply, and I think this is very strong, examine yourselves. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail to meet the test. I hope you will find out that we have not failed the test. You know, that is some of my biggest anxiety in life, is test taking. You know, I'm so, there was a moment in time that I thought, hey, I'm going to continue my education. I'm going to go on to my my PhD or whatever, my that last degree. And then I thought about all the tests and all the things you got to pass and all the hours and all that. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. Why? Because there's a lot of anxiety behind it. We, you know, children, they have to be tested on their what they've learned in school. And so there's anxiety behind that. Well, guess what? There's a test that we all have right now. And that's the test of, are we in the faith or are we not? And we need to examine ourselves to test ourselves if we are in that faith. And so that's what we're talking about today. And I love that Paul said, I hope you will find out that we have not failed the test. I used to always think, oh, I hope I hadn't failed that test. The worst test we can fail is our eternity test. We can't fail that test, folks. And sometimes I do get concerned, quite frankly, that there are people in the church that are allowing other things to come in between them and God. Now, please hear me out on this. To those who are not here today, to those who are not in this room worshiping, I'm not talking to those who cannot be here or in good conscience can't be here, or because of your age or the bracket of life you're in, you can't be here. Please understand, I'm not talking to them. But those who are choosing to just stay away, to those who are just choosing to say, well, you know what? Hey, we don't have to go to church right now and we might tune in, or hey, this is a good time to go on vacation. And again, I'm not talking about vacations. I'm talking about just those who have gotten so just controlled by being away and being free. That's a real dangerous place to be. And we've got to ask ourselves, am I in the faith or am I not? It's simple as that. You know who failed the test a lot? The Israelites. The Israelites failed the test a lot. And Paul told all of us that we need to pass the test. But prophets throughout time, through God, told them, you better get right or you're going to fail forever. And in fact, Isaiah is one of those prophets. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 1. Kind of a long reading now. But man, this is rich in people failing tests and some warnings from God. And I think we all need to hear them today. You know, you got to preach sermons that stir people. Either they stir the people or they stir you out of the building, right? And so we've got to ask ourselves and we've got to preach conviction. We can't just look and see where we are and say everything's just fine all the time. We must constantly examine where we are in the faith and be able to see if we're passing the test. Isaiah chapter 1, beginning verse 1. Stay with me now. Again, long reading here. These are the visions that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. He saw these visions during the years when Uzziah, Jotham, and Ahaz, and Hezekiah were kings of Judah. Listen, O heavens, pay attention, earth. That ought to get our attention, right? We need to wake up. This is what the Lord says, not Terry, not Isaiah, but the Lord. The children I raised and cared for have rebelled against me. Even an ox knows its owner, and a donkey recognizes its master's care. But Israel doesn't know its master. My people don't recognize my care for them. Oh, what a sinful nation they are, loaded down with a burden of guilt. They are evil people, corrupt children who have rejected the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel and turned their backs on Him. Why do you continue to invite punishment? Must you rebel forever? Your head is injured and your heart is sick. You are battered from head to foot, covered with bruises, welts, and infected wounds without any soothing ointments or bandages. Your country lies in ruins and your towns are burned. Foreigners plunder your fields before your eyes and destroy everything they see. Beautiful Jerusalem stands abandoned like a watchman's shelter in a vineyard, like a lean-to in a cucumber field after the harvest, like a helpless city under siege. This is verse 9 now. If the Lord of heaven's armies had not spared a few of us, we would have been wiped out like Sodom, destroyed like Gomorrah. Listen to the Lord, you leaders of Sodom. Listen to the law of our God, people of Gomorrah. What makes you think I want all your sacrifices, says the Lord? I am sick of your burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fattened cattle. I get no pleasure from the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to worship me, who asked you to parade through my courts with all your ceremony? Stop bringing me your meaningless gifts. The incense of your offerings disgusts me. As for your celebrations of the new moon and the Sabbath and your special days for fasting, they are all sinful and false. I want no more of your pious meetings. I hate your new moon celebrations and your annual festivals. They are a burden to me. I cannot stand them. When you lift up your hands in prayer, I will not look. Though you offer many prayers, I will not listen. For your hands are covered with the blood of innocent victims. Wash yourselves and be clean. Get your sins out of my sight. Give up your evil ways. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Help the oppressed. Defend the cause of orphans. Fight for the rights of widows. Rebellion, ignorance, lack of consideration, sin, iniquity, evil doing, corruption, forsaking God, estrangement from God, backsliding, revolt, transgression, disobedience, sickness, unsoundness. That's just a small list of what Israel was going through. They didn't have to ask themselves, am I in the faith? God told them, no, you're not. Now listen, God's not talking directly to us through prophets today or through the law of Moses today or through the patriarchs today. He's speaking through His Word. And His Word tells us we've got to ask ourselves, am I in the faith? Where's my mind? Where's my mindset? Where's my attitude? Verse 6 gives the image of someone being beaten within an inch of their life. That's how bad off they were. In the text, they are referred to, that an ox and a donkey were smarter than them. Verse 8, Jerusalem will be left empty, captured, and helpless. The children of Israel at this time were lost, empty, incomplete, and very near spiritual death. The question has to be today, where are we? Where are we? We're God's Israel today. We're the church today. We are His people, chosen people. We chose to follow Jesus. Where are we today? That has to be a question we ask ourselves. In verse 5, He says, why should you be stricken again? You shall revolt more and more. One version puts it this way, the whole head is sick and the whole heart faints. So my question today is, how's our whole head? Our heads, our minds, our attitudes. They all matter. Ultimately, I hope and pray that when we leave out of here, we have the attitude that Paul said in Philippians chapter 2 that was read to us just a moment ago. But we're going to begin in verse 5 and read a little bit more. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So you know what test we have to ask ourselves today? What's my mind like? What's clouding my mind? What's in my mind? What's in my attitude? What kind of attitude am I portraying? To the world? Yes. To God, number one. What kind of life am I living? First and foremost today, as we study, I'm going to give you three things. And Bill already told you in Sunday school, I like alliteration. And so these are going to alliterate with the letter C, all right? So the first thing we need to understand about our minds that God wants us to understand, if I'm going to truly pass the test and be in the faith, is I must have clean mind. I must have a clean mind. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Paul said, I beseech you, urge you, appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you what? Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. Do not be conformed to the world. That's so important. Just because it's popular in the world doesn't mean we as Christians should participate in it. Just because it may seem right to us doesn't mean we as Christians should participate in it. It's real important that we do not conform to the world. Water conforms. If I had a jar right here and I poured water in it, water would conform to that jar. If we could picture this building staying whole, we could put water in this building, in this room, and it would take the form of this room. Water has no substance to it. It has no molecules and such that can stick and last and be formed, because it's just such a liquid and it's so without form. Clay can be formed. We are clay. He is the potter. We've got to allow God to form us and mold us into what we do. How do we do that? But be transformed by the what? Renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. The word transformed there is the Greek word metamorphao. Metamorphao. That is the Greek word for transform, where we get the word we know as metamorphosis. What is metamorphosis? It is when the caterpillar metamorphs into the beautiful butterfly. Okay? We must go from that dirty, sinful, unclean, clouded mind to a pure mind. How do we do that? Colossians 3, verse 2, beginning in verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ. Now, that's us, right? Those of us who have followed Jesus Christ. We've walked an aisle, whether it's here or somewhere else, or into a swimming pool or wherever else. We've gone into that pool, right? And behind this wall is water. We have said, I confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Just recently, Jason and I got to witness a Mobile Christian, even in the tub that the athletes soak in. We were able to baptize two people there. You can baptize them anywhere, but wherever it was, right? We walked that aisle and we say, okay, I'm submitting to Christ. I'm being buried. Alright? We were buried in that water. What now? We're raised with Christ. Colossians 3 verse 1. That's the Christians. What did he say? Seek the things that are above, where Christ is. Seated at the right hand of God. Don't miss this. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Well, Terry, I have an obsessive, compulsive mindset. And sometimes I get so riled up at the things in this world that I've got to just shout it out to everybody that I'm for this and I'm for that and I'm against this and I'm against that. Well, that may be good, but if it's not above where God is, then we need to obsess over something else. We need to fill our minds with things that are out of this world, not things that are in this world. And again, I said it every week. Well, is Terry talking about the virus? If it fits, put it there. Is Terry talking about racial tension and the things that are being spewed? If it fits, put it there. Is Terry talking about riots and crazy stuff in this world? If it fits, put it there. Is Terry talking about Republicans versus Democrats versus whoever? Then put it there. I'm talking about getting out of this mindset where our minds are so clouded and so bogged down that we can't be productive for Jesus Christ. You see, when I cloud my mind and I filled my mind with garbage, then I can't be focused on what I need to be focused on. In order to give up the things that are clouding or dirtying our minds, we need to keep reading in Colossians chapter 3. Look at verses 5 through 10. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its Creator. When our minds are transformed, they become that beautiful creation of God. So what do we need to do? How do I set my mind on things above? By continuing to meditate on the lies and garbage that the Twitter world gives you, or that the news media gives you, or that Facebook gives you, or that fill in whatever social media platform you want to. No. That's not how we do it, right? We meditate on good things, Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think or meditate on these things. The reason we have such a hard time focusing sometime on the good things is because look around us in this year, right? What a year. But here's what God said about it. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. Minds the God of this age has blinded. Isn't that what's happening? We can't let that be the church. The gods of this age are blinding people. And we as Christians, we can't live in that age. We've got to live out of this world. If we want clean minds, we've got to take the veils off. We've got to put to death sin. We've got to be transformed. And we've got to be renewing our minds. Secondly, as we think about having the mind of Christ, we need to have confident minds. I believe that there are certainly people in the church, and I know there are people in the world, who struggle with unclean minds, but also believe there are people in the church who struggle with unsure minds. There are too many church-going people that are unsure in their minds about their own salvation. There are people that think, I don't know where I'm going. I'm not sure where I'm going. I hope I'm going. You see, if that's me today, how can I be productive for Jesus Christ if I'm unsure of my salvation? But you have encountered people, I've encountered people, that they will say those things. Well, I sure hope I go to heaven. I sure feel like I'm going to heaven. You see, that's not a confident mind. And even though I may be thinking about good things, I've got to be assured. Now, here's what a confident mind will get you. If you are assured of heaven, then we should not fear those who can destroy the body. We need to only fear those who can destroy the soul. Right? I am not saying we throw caution to the wind. I will never say that. Okay? I will never say that. But certainly, certainly, if worst case scenario for me today is I die and go to heaven, then my life is all right. If that's worst case scenario. 1 John chapter 2, if you're doubting. Beginning in verse 1. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Please don't miss verse 3. Now by this we think, we hope, we feel. Is that what He said? No. He said, now by this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Verse 3 reminds us that it is possible to know Him. Not to hope in Him. Not to have a feeling about Him. But to know Him. And to know where we stand. We can and should leave here today, or not leave our homes today. We should know that if our minds are the minds of Christ, we should know where our salvation lies. If we do not have a clean mind, if we do not have a confident mind, then the enemy is going to get in there and have a field day. There are two ways that Satan does that. With an idle mind, meaning I've got too much time on my hands. Do people have more time on their hands now than ever? Listen, some of that's a good thing because of what I'm going to talk about in part 2. Slowing down is not a bad thing if we focus on God. If we focus our family on God. But if we have too much idle time on our hands, then Satan creeps right in. If our minds are idle and we're not busy thinking about Jesus and we're not busy focusing on the cross and we're not busy focused on where I need to be spiritually and where my family needs to be and where everybody in my circle of influence need to be, Satan's going to have a field day. But then also with a busy mind, a too busy mind. We're always too busy for clean, Christ-filled thoughts or Christ-filled actions. You know, that's, go back to what I said at the beginning. I enjoy spending time with my family. I really do. In fact, I'd rather spend time with my family than anybody. And I have good friends and everything else. And I enjoy my children. I enjoy my wife. I enjoy going home every day to see them. And so I'm not going to sit here and say that we shouldn't spend time with our families. I'll never say that. But if we're spending more time with our family and less time with God, then we've gotten too busy. We've got our priorities out of whack. And Satan wants nothing more than that. So we've got to find that happy medium. And we've got to fill our minds with knowing God and knowing where our salvation lies. In Psalm 27, verse 3, though an enemy encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. Can we really say that today? No matter what this world brings, no matter what people try to do to me, and listen, I'm not saying we bow down and cover and bury our heads in the sand. I'm not saying that. But if we're partaking of things that are causing us not to be confident in our faith, and fail the test, then we need to get that junk out of our lives. Hebrews 13:6, so we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? We talked Wednesday night about Paul. Don't go to Jerusalem, Paul. Don't go to Jerusalem. He was warned. You're going to be bound up. You're going to be put in prison. Paul said, so be it. If I have to die there, I'm going to die there. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain, he told the church at Philippi. What can man do to me? Because I belong to Jesus. Man, what a mindset, right? What a confident mindset. Philippians 4:13, he didn't say, I hope, I can't. He said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Today, we need to leave here knowing our minds are clean. We need to leave here knowing our minds are confident. We need to have a faith and mind so strong that we can boldly say to Satan, hey, bring it on. I'm not afraid of you. But then finally this morning, yeah, I need to have a clean mind. I need to have a confident mind. What happens when I put all that together? Then I need to have a clear mind. You see, there's nothing to bog it down when my mind's clean and my mind's confident in Jesus Christ. There's nothing to distract it. There's nothing to cloud it. Everything's clear. Peter sometimes struggled with his mindset, did he not? Sometimes he was not clean. Sometimes he was not confident. But when it was all said and done, I believe he figured it out and he gave us a great formula in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. He said there, "Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." In other words, he said, focus your minds on the crown. Focus your minds on the King. Focus your minds on the cross. Once we do that, guess what? We've gotten rid of the junk. We've gotten rid of the garbage. We've gotten rid of the doubt. And our minds are clear. They're sober. We can think the way a Christian ought to think. 1 Peter 4, verse 7, "The end of all things is at hand. Therefore be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers." So, once we understand what Peter's talking about, once we hear what Peter's saying, we will have clear minds that focus on the crown, that focus on communicating with God, and then thirdly, focus on conquering the devil. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." Focused on the cross or the crown. Focused on communication with God. Focused on conquering the devil. When I am sober-minded, I can do all three. Clean minds, confident minds, clear minds, Christ-like minds. Right? Someone once said that a mind is a terrible thing to waste. That someone may have meant it from an educational standpoint. But boy, if God could say that today, He would mean it from a godly standpoint. We can't waste the minds He's given us. Here's a quote. "You are what you are and where you are because of what has gone into your mind. And you can change what you are and where you are by changing what goes into your mind." In other words, your thinking directly affects your performance. And what you put into your mind affects your thinking. No more stinking thinking. We can't focus on this world so that we get distracted and bogged down. We can't focus on garbage so that garbage comes out. We must focus our minds on Christ. Therefore, it will be clean, it will be confident, it will be clear. Today, where's your mindset? Where's your attitude? Have you given it all to Jesus? If you haven't, we have this opportunity right now to do that as together we stand and sing.